Well, it's good to see you this morning. I pray that you feel the Spirit of God in this place, just as you've had the prior week, as you have submitted yourself to Him in humility and prayer. We are in a series that we're calling 2020 Vision. Last week we began with living a life of humility and prayer. And we certainly understand our posture to hear from God speaking to us by His Holy Spirit and His Holy Word. We have to humble ourselves before Him and listen to Him and spend time in silence and solitude before Him. And He still speaks, and He'll speak to you as you humble yourself before Him. Today we're looking at 2020 Vision, offering a significant gift. For a 2020 Vision, hopefully you're asking yourself, what can I offer to my holy God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit? Hopefully today that we will learn to offer ourselves as that significant gift. Now, I want to pose a question to you this morning. For what have you been complimented for of late in your life? Maybe it's for a good job at something. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's from a family member, but think with me for a moment when you've possibly received some kind of accolade, some kind of recognition related to your effort, maybe related to your giftedness. Well, I guess I want to just say that because the scripture that we're using today gives a strong compliment that hopefully rings true for your desire and your heart before God. And that phrase is, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Have you heard that before? The passage I'm using today is really from an inspiring sermon from Willie Rice at Calvary Church. A couple of brothers here in the church kind of put me onto. And so I received some inspiration of this passage today. And hopefully that's our heart's desire to know and to be able to have that desire and to be able to do something honoring and pleasing to our God because we're His servants. Now, what would cause God to tell you, well done? That's the question that we want to answer today. What would cause God to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant? And so we're going to kind of ask the questions that we sometimes ask of Scripture when we're studying it. Who's He talking to? Servants. And what is He talking about? Well, the phrase that you've all heard can be applicable. Your time, your talents, and your treasure. And then when is it to be done? When you were born again as a child of God. Just as you were physically born, you're spiritually born. And so this begins to take place as you grow in Christ. You are a servant of the Most High King. And when we look at it, we might say, where? And it's in His kingdom. You know the scripture, and I'm going to quote just a portion of it a couple of times today. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so really what we look for today is that we understand the where is all of God's kingdom in us, through us, and the world that which we live. The kingdom is where God takes us. The church is where God takes us each and every day. And so we want to honor Him. And how? We understand that it's through not our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And it's a lengthy passage, but I'm going to try to read it quickly in front of you today. Then I'll ask you to stand in just a moment. We'll have prayer together. Again, it is talking about the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you understanding in this great parable the outcome of the servants couldn't be more far off, more far different. And today we want to understand our expectation. We want to understand our assignment. We want to understand our accountability in the kingdom of God. And we come before you today asking that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that you would help us to understand what the most significant gift can be to you, for you, by and through your resources of the Holy Spirit. We come before you today humbly bowing our hearts before you in submission. We come asking that you would help us have a desire to change, to be more like Jesus. We confess our sin before you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you look at verses 14 through 16 again, I'll just remind you a little bit. It talks about the kingdom assignment. Hopefully you could see very clearly in that passage that exactly what was happening. Now, I want to just kind of introduce it by saying that a lot of times I'm with folks in their latter years of life. And when I talk with them, they'll choose to open up and discuss things like reviewing the last years of their life, reviewing their whole life. They go through a panorama with me. And many times for those of strong faith, they'll talk about the blessings of God. And they'll talk about how they've seen God's hand and how they've grown to trust God's heart throughout their life. But sometimes as I talk with people, there are very severe regrets in life. They regret things about maybe failing their children, maybe not raising them in the Lord or in the church, or maybe not providing for them properly, or whatever the relationship might have should have been is not what it ended up being. They may talk about their property and the fondness of a family farm, or they may talk about the fondness of growing up in a certain location. They may talk about their health and being immobilized due to age and due to the severity of sometimes even disease. And then they may talk about their faith. They may talk about what lies beyond this world as we know it and see it. And they may talk about their faith and their expectation of eternal life in heaven. But as I begin to say that, today I want to ask you, will you take that place? Will you take that posture right now to review your life in Christ? To review and to evaluate for yourself the kingdom assignment that he clearly places before us in his word and certainly through the teaching of this parable today. The scripture tells us in the kingdom assignment that Jesus entrusted his wealth to his servants. In some of your translations it said he delivered his goods to his servants as what? As an investment. He leaves his servants in charge. And he's hoping that his kingdom will come here on earth through his resources, through his church, that he might be glorified every day through our lives and through the ministry of our body together, the church. Now, when we think about it, you got to know that this was a generous gift. Some of your scriptures says that they gave 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. A talent was a measurement of pounds, and it could be in silver or gold or something of that nature. But for example, it was viewed as 10, some commentators say, or to 20 years of a laborer's life. So 20 years, as much as 20 years. Now let's just say in our arena here that folks averaged $50,000, okay, a year. For 20 years, it would, and for 10 years, it'd be $500,000 in today's world, in today's economy, or $1 million. So we equate the number of years of wages that they received from the talent itself, what an actual talent was. And so we're just saying God is generous in his resources to us. One of our failures as children of God is not knowing what his resources are and how to implement them into our life for the victory of growing his investment, growing his kingdom here on earth. And so when we look at it, we say, how do you invest your master's wealth? How do you invest our God's possessions today? Well, it can be through a myriad of ways. It can be through jail ministry. And some of you are involved in jail ministry. Many of you are involved individually, and you're involved as a group at your workplace to where you're honoring God intentionally, reaching out in prayer and ministry and Bible study to your co-workers. Many of you are involved in helping folks with addictions and substance abuse of various types and forms and fashions. And so you have given your life and your time to allowing God to use you to grow his kingdom by ministering to others of the freedom that we know through Jesus Christ. And so there's many examples, and there's even more, of how we invest our master's wealth in our master's possession through the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit and through the fruits of the Spirit, where we exercise God's love, joy, God's peace, and all the wonderful fruit of the Spirit that flow through us when we keep our relationship as a branch to the vine producing much fruit. And so that's the message that is before us today. What is our assignments? Well, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom in me, that I recognize Jesus as my King, that he has the authority in my life, and the recognition that indeed my heart is full of service for him. That's the assignment before us. And the example is the very life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we find in the Gospels and through his holy word. And we can believe the truth of his word and his promises because it's a living word. It's meant for you by God's grace and goodness that you would experience his word in your life. And that through that word, you would have the empowerment and the hope and peace of God to minister to others with what has happened and what you have experienced in your own life. Amen? And that is God's assignment, his kingdom assignment for us. So he entrusts his wealth to us. It says, each according to his ability. Now that's interesting, isn't it? You say, well, I don't have much ability, and that's a problem, therefore I don't do much. Well, it makes me always think of some of my favorite verses, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you hear your responsibility, man's role? You continue to work. There's things that you have to do. There's not only trusting, but you must obey and you must position yourself to grow and to be useful in the kingdom of God, sitting under good Bible teachers, walking with strong men and women of God that will mentor you in your friendships and then looking for useful opportunities wherever you are, recognizing a God consciousness every day. And then it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And here's the grace part. For God is at work in you to act according to his good pleasure, to work and to act according, and that's God's grace. So you see, there's God's role in this. And see, for many of you, you're fives. Some of us are twos, and some of us are ones, because the gospel privileges for the fives is that you've grown up and been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ over and over, maybe through great grandparents and parents and through the influence of friends. You have grown to be a servant that, according to your ability, there's many things and many opportunities before you. And such is the nature of twos. But listen, it's not just God shining down people in your life. It's that when you have that opportunity, whether you're a five, a four, a three, or two, or one, as far as getting the investment of God's wealth and God's possessions in your life to invest for his kingdom, we have a stewardship by which we can position ourselves and posture ourselves to know God's presence and his peace and power, listen, through his church, meaning his people, and through circumstances that we face day in and day out. He will speak to you through our prayer time with him and our relationship to him. We can grow to be useful to him because we're staying within his hand and he is shaping our lives daily. Now, he is invested, the Bible says here, dollars and gain more bags of gold. The five and the two had 100% return. Whatever you're doing today, 100% return is good, isn't it? And it's what any investor wants to hear, isn't it? And so as we relate the parable a little bit to our own life, we see a life of full service. Would that be something that indicates your Christian life? Would it be the true believer, in other words? Not perfect, but ever living in the consciousness that God is with us, whatever we may be doing, wherever we may be. And so it gives you the picture of those that had a return investment according to what they had, the five bags of gold and the two bags of gold. And so it's pretty clear to us exactly what is happening here. They served with a full heart. But in verse 18, we see a different picture here. We have the servant that received one bag of gold, and it says he hid it in the ground. And what does that represent? A false servant. It's hard to accept, isn't it? No effort, no investment, he's not a true believer, no fruit. He buried God's resources, did not acknowledge them. And the scripture says in verse 30, hell is for people who even waste their limited privilege. We look further in kingdom accountability. Kingdom assignment, the next point is kingdom accountability. It says in verse 19, I believe it is, after a long time, after a long journey, it says that the master came back to what? Settle the accounts. Came back to say, look, we're going to look at the books, we're going to compare the accounts, and this is a picture of judgment. Say, well, I don't like to think about that. I don't like to talk about that. It's the example of Matthew 25 is separating the sheep from the goats. It's the example of separating the good soil from the bad soil, the good fruit from the bad fruit. It's all the examples of Scripture that gives us the idea that there's a day and a time of reckoning when Jesus comes again where there will be an evaluation, there will be an accountability along with the assignment that God has called each of us to as his children. And so when we look at it, we know what God expects out of us. We see this in Scripture, that his wealth, his possessions, his gifts should be multiplied in each of us and in our church as well. It's not hard to grasp that. And God has given us more than money. He's given us, obviously, his time and his talent and treasure. And each of us don't have the same amount of time. Some die prematurely and some die earlier in life. But the aspect of it is that we all have the time that we have, and we have the talents that we have and the treasures that we have. And he expects you to take and multiply what he has given to you. He says, you have entrusted me with this. You have given me your resources. You've called me to be a manager, a steward in your kingdom here on earth, that your kingdom might come here and now. And that's the evaluation, plain and simple. How well are we doing? How well are you doing today? And you begin to see that as the church, what does it mean for us collectively, corporately, to multiply the kingdom of God? You know, I think many times we have been mainly into addition rather than multiplication. And I'm sad and I'm disappointed in myself. Because, you know, we have to lead in that way to where we understand multiplication. For example, in Sunday school, addition would be you're excited about adding 1-5 people to your Sunday school class. Multiplication would be you started 2 classes out of your class and not worry about who went where, but that God would be glorified and you're going to reach more through 2 or 3 classes than you are your individual ones. Could somebody say amen? And it just multiplies in the examples that we do, and understand that through humility, God can bring that to light in our lives and through the life of our church. And so when we say that, we're looking for a 2020 vision as a church. Now, I would mention to you Calvary Church in Tampa, a great history of preachers. Bill Anderson was there some 24 years before the current pastor, who's a great pastor. But just let me give you an example. Their X150 Advance vision is to revitalize and start 150 churches by 2025. All right, they've already started that, and I think they've already started 59. The majority of them are internationally. All right, the majority of them are international as far as those churches go. They also want to be used of God to create 150 champions for Christ. And that means to train and to give leadership training to individuals that are feeling the call of ministry to full-time ministry or bivocational ministry. They're also looking and understanding that they want to save 150 children, meaning that at a young age, what greater thing can be done than to kind of intervene and intercept a child's life that has gone wrong, or maybe they hadn't had the support that's needed, and therefore a multiplicity of strategies by helping to save 150 children. Now, I give that to you as an example because it's an important example. What would be our 2020 vision? To help build and revitalize churches, maybe. That would be good. Not only that, you know, we've seen a little bit just the last 2 years. Our men have literally gone to Guatemala and built a church that, 288 sticks in my mind that will hold 288 people. It was the only Protestant church in a large town. And so I think that's an example. That's a way of what we're talking about. I think the men are going to possibly go back again, see Mike Jacobs. You like that, Mike? Call Mike Jacobs. As a part of that men's ministry and part of the mission team as well, if you have an interest in going and following up and following through with that. We've done the same in Honduras. If you'll remember, Brother Eusebio's hometown helped to build a church, support a church, help revitalize a church. And those kind of things are very important for us. And God expects these kind of faithfulness to us and through us. And we can't be faithful and play it safe. There has to be some risk involved. You're going, you're getting on some tough area there, tough ground. What are you talking about? Well, it does need to be defined, and the scripture defines it very clearly that we need a vision of sacrifice, a vision of life, and a vision of treasure for ourselves. You notice what I said? The sacrifice is on us. The sacrifice is on us as a church that I'm willing to risk my life daily for the one who gave his life for me. That as a church, we're willing to give our life a ransom for many because of Christ who gave us he gave his life corporately for us. And, I'm so thrilled that we are a church that really has began this kingdom emphasis in February with the understanding that one by one, week after week, there's more people coming on board and getting this understanding that we're to be a kingdom-centric church, not church-centric. It doesn't all happen here. It shouldn't all happen here. It isn't about this building. It isn't about a particular place. It's about a people of God who are scattered in the world, meeting the needs of the communities of which it lives and beyond. Amen? Amen. And I'm thankful for you. You inspire me. I'm proud to say that I get to work with you and to walk along beside you and to hear how God is speaking to you as you pray and you discern His will, as you're silent and you come to Him in solitude and you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and you meditate on His Word. God is speaking. And God is moving. And God is working. One day at a time, one step at a time, to unveil His way and His will before us. And so as we look at it, we're asking one another. I'm asking you to be sacrificial and to be missional. You say, yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Well, listen, you got to take it up with God. You got to understand who you are as a child of God and make sure you're not the person with one bag of gold hiding it in the ground who is afraid of God. And we have to understand, too, that you know, if you don't want to be asked, and I'm being careful with this, to serve and to be kingdom-minded and to give of your resources, which are really whose resources? If you miss that, you miss the whole shebang here, right? It's not yours. It's not mine. Then I don't know what to tell you. I will be catty. I'm just going to admit it. 80% of the churches are out there dead and won't ask you for anything. Well, what are you saying? I'm not inviting you to go to them, but I'm just saying that we want to be a church. Hear me here. I'm not inviting you to go to them. I'm just saying we want to distinguish ourselves as a living church, kingdom-minded, and thank God some of you are leading the way. And we pray that God would continue to show us the way. And be thankful for the way that He is giving it to us. And so, when we come before the Lord and praying together, we pray that He would give us a historic and generous commitment to advancing the kingdom with what? Our time, our talents, and our treasures. That makes sense. We can understand this very clearly. There's not anybody that can't understand that. And there's nothing more important than the kingdom mission for which He has set before us. Now, I want to show you in verse 24 of Matthew 25. And it says, "Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered." And I just want to kind of give you, he professed to believe. He was going to be a steward in the kingdom. He was in the line of being a servant. And he said he was. He doesn't waste his master's good, does he? He doesn't waste his master's possession. He wasn't the prodigal. He wasn't an embezzler. And he wasn't an example of some vile, wicked, evil life. It was basically an example of a man who wasted opportunity. And he was a man that really wasn't in the kingdom, and he really wasn't a servant of God. And that's today what you and I have to account for. You're hearing the word of God, and we're responsible for it now, and we have to make the evaluation of our own life. He said, I gave you your life, I gave you your treasure, and you wasted it. And two things betrayed him. What was it? His lack and his attack on the master. His lack was he had no fruit whatsoever in his life. Nothing to show for it. There was no indicators that he was a servant of God. He laid it aside and went on his merry way. Ouch. He laid it aside and went on his merry way Sunday afternoon. He laid it aside and went on his merry way Monday morning. Through Saturday, but he did come to church on Sunday. I will say that. He did do that. Now, I'm not even being catty, am I? I'm just being truthful with the application of sometimes how our lives are when we don't know Christ. And you see, he also betrayed himself through the attack. The attack was, he called him a thief. You reap where you don't sow, man. You take other people's work. And you take it for your own glory and for your own choosing. You steal their wheat, man. You're a hard man. Man, that was tough, wasn't it? Did he know the guy that we know? It says he was afraid. And so he hid it and probably was hoping that the master never would come back. I hope he doesn't come back. I just want to keep all of that for myself. Maybe I can pull it out of the ground and use it someday and it'll all be mine. In verse 26, it says, you're a wicked and lazy, wicked and lazy servant. You made no effort. Kind of what it comes down to, isn't it? An indicator of our faith is our service to the Lord and his kingdom to become more like Jesus. And we recognize that all of the gifts that we're talking about, the wealth, the possession of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit of God, the spiritual disciplines of prayer and God's grace and goodness, of God's mercy and compassion. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Does that strike anybody? They're gifts. They're his wealth. They're his possessions that we are what? To take and invest them in others. The fruit of the Spirit is that now we just don't know Steve's love. We know God's love. We just don't know your earthly peace. We know the peace that passes understanding. We just don't know the happiness of the world. We know the joy and the happiness of the King, and the same thing that makes him happy and joyful are the same thing that makes us happy and joyful. And it's made all the difference in our life. And frankly, we're not the same. And we don't even value the way the world spends its time or spends its talent or spends its treasure. We're in a totally different kingdom. And so when we're issued a challenge and we're asked as a church, then let's come together and let's be on mission in the kingdom out there in the communities of which we live, the workplaces of which we go, the social arenas of which we know people. What's your reaction to this assignment? After Jesus' example, and until Jesus comes, we are diligent in service to him. If you read the parables on the kingdom, it says that we're to be waiting, watching, and working. We are to be preparing for his return and preparing for his kingdom. We're to be of that mind and that consciousness. Whatever we're doing, wherever we go, have you got there yet? Are you going there? Are you growing there? Are you seeing steps and seeing your life change to this calling that he's given to us? That yes, we are beginning to have a God consciousness, not just Sunday at the appointed day and the appointed hour, but on Monday we have a God consciousness that we're walking with God and the Holy Spirit of God is real in our life and he speaks to me and he nudges me and he tells me when to move and he tells me when to speak and he gives me a heart that's totally different than I had before I was saved. He's changed my life. You see, we see our talents different. We see our treasures different. When our youngest adult class now, 25 to 35, so I will just say couples and singles alike. It's a new class. Today they're studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to say to you, it's understanding that God provides us our shape. And that comes from Rick Warren in his book, exactly after that shape. He gives you the spiritual gifts, S. He gives you a heart. A passion for something in your life to serve him. And some of you are exercising that passion in ministry. And then you have A for abilities, those things that you have grown and known to do in your life, and you're giving them back to God. And you're using your abilities or your talent, if you will, to bring him glory, to live for him and to honor him and to minister for him. That's how it should be. P is even your personality. Even when some of us aren't very high on the social quotient, hello, God uses us through our personality, and I believe he can even change and shape us. A lot of people would disagree that, but and then lastly, the shape is our experiences. Those things that you thought were of no count or no good and only bad in your life, God uses them some for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we love that scripture. And so we begin to see that's our reaction to the assignment. And the kingdom is wherever the king reigns. Does he reign in you? Does he reign in me? Does he reign in your home, in your life, in your job, in your finances, in what God has given you of talents that you want to be prideful about, but now you understand it's to be humble about it. And that he'll lift you up as you humble yourself before him in all of those respects. The kingdom reigns in his authority, and it's in the hearts and of the lives of the people who accept him as king. It's not an organization per se. It's not, if you will, even the church building ashore, but it may be expressions of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is in us, in his church, in his people. It's those who say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, God isn't, he's not coming back for your bank account. He's not coming back for your house. He's not coming back for a church building. He's coming back for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God cares for you. And God cares for people, and he invites you and he entrusts you with his kingdom mission. Can you get excited and praise God for that? I'm going to ask you to take that step of generosity, of the three T's, greater than we've ever done it before. You say, "Well, what are we going to do?" I don't know. I thought somebody smiled at that. We've asked you to pray for 90 days. I want you to know that we're not just praying what God would have us to do in the building of a facility. We pray that he would build this facility. Amen? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think probably the greatest thing that God's going to show us is how we understand and view prayer, how we hear him speak in our life, indeed, how he moves and works in our life when we humble ourselves before him. That would be the greatest thing. And you know, we're not just planning for, we're looking for kingdom mission simultaneously on the same tracks. I will tell you, it's my heart to yours, we need some facility. But we need a kingdom mission. And those two aren't opposite each other. They should be complementary of each other. And they will be as we come before a holy God in prayer. In 90 days, God will reveal his will for us in kingdom ministry as a church. We've asked you to pray from November 3rd to November 24th and pray with fasting that God would reveal his will for our church and reveal his will for something in particular in your life. I've asked you, if you would, just give me a short email or something to how you know and hear that God is speaking with you. I just want to say that we've already gotten four or five this week, and it's been a charge spiritually for us and the staff. And we'll endeavor to share some of those with you. But we're going to ask you to continue to pray for 90 days of prayer and trust God. 20 days of prayer and fasting and trust God. So that 2020 vision, there may be a bold commitment for the life of his church. That's us as people together. Amen. I have to believe it with all my heart. And I know and believe that you believe it as well. And I want to close with what we began with, that offering a significant gift is that he's asking you and offering to you to to offer your life. Wholeheartedly, totally offer your life. We can talk about time and check that off. We can talk about talent and check that off. We can talk about treasures and, okay, we don't check that one off. The statistics show it, I'm sorry. He's saying offer your life. Offer yourself in a holy sacrifice. Offer yourself and your gifts as a gift to God, that His kingdom may come in you, through you, to the world. There's no other calling. There's no greater calling. Let's thank Him for offering us to be involved in His kingdom mission, because we are the ones that have experienced it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for Your good love for us and for all of Your blessings, that Your benefits are new and fresh every morning. And today we pray that our hearts have been touched, Lord, that we are even now making new commitments to You, that we're wanting to understand what You've entrusted us with and the resources that You've given us. And Lord, to know that they're spiritual resources, and even if they're physical, Lord, they're to be spiritually used for the soul and heart of men and women, boys and girls. God, we come before You humbly, and help us to know that as we pray to You, humbling ourselves, as we spend time in silence and solitude meditating on Your word, Your Holy Spirit will speak to us individually and to us collectively as a church. We trust You. We have nothing else to trust in. Oh, we can't trust in ourselves, Lord. We become cynical. We become skeptical. We become doubtful. And we know You. We become afraid many times. We take our eyes off of You. Lord, we confess that we live worldly. And Lord, we pray that You would humble us, that we would be broken in such a way not to run from You, but to run to You. Lord, I pray for individuals here today, when they think of offering a significant gift, they would immediately feel Your Holy Spirit saying, you need to become a child of God. We pray for individuals here today that need to confess their sin before You, receive of Your grace, and begin a relationship where Jesus is Lord. We know the Bible calls that faith. And that their life would be repentance, born again of a new heart, mind, and soul. And then, Lord, we pray for a myriad of individuals in the church. We need to take those next steps to know they are indicators that we know You, that we love You, and we serve You. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together.